You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to Through the Bible. We're so glad that you're here for another important study in 1 Timothy with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. And if you think about it, every study is pretty important. So as you grab your Bible and open it to chapter 1, verse 8, let's share a few letters from people just like you listening on the Bible bus, but this time in Central Europe. Now, although the physical distance between us is pretty big, you'll find their joys and struggles are so similar to our own. The first letter comes from a listener in Serbia. I was very encouraged by the program I heard yesterday evening, they write. I realized how important forgiveness is. We should live in love with other people. Let's be sympathetic, let's be good, and we should do good to each other. Let's resist this urge to despise people. We shouldn't judge others because they are different from us. Let us be gracious and receive grace. If we judge, we can't love, and the world is already filled with so much hatred. So we need to choose to love and to be grateful for what God has given us. Many Christians in the world suffer great exile. Here in Serbia, we should be grateful because we are free to preach. We are often overburdened with other things, and we forget everything God has already given us and what He has done for us. It is therefore important that we be the true disciples of Christ, to listen to His word, to forgive, and to love one another. Thank you for helping me stay focused on what matters and keeping other things from dragging me down the wrong path. May God bless you for all the wonderful things you teach us. Wow, isn't that an encouragement? It's such a great example of how God reveals wisdom to us through His Word. Now, here's another really good letter. This is from the Bible Bus in Bulgaria. A friend writes, "In the village where I live, there isn't any church. I've discovered your website and have been listening to your Bible teaching. Each program has had an incredible impact on me. First, I want to thank you for these amazing resources. They have tenfold increased my understanding of our Almighty Creator and Savior. Second, I have been telling my friends and family about your website so they can listen too. Keep on in this good work and be blessed in Jesus' name." Well, praise God for the ways that His Word reaches people all over the world. Now, here's our final letter. This is from Leta in Albania. "One day I was listening to your program and I was touched by the story of Elijah," Leta writes. "The prophets of Baal were 450, but even this great number cannot be compared with Elijah. He challenges the prophets of Baal to discover the true God. I learned that even if we are all alone, the only true God is with us. Who else can stand against us? Thank you for bringing the Bible studies so near to us." Well, if you'd like to join our world prayer team as we ask God to reach His whole world with His whole word and pray for people like Leta, you can sign up at ttb.org/pray. Now, on Thursday, Through the Bible's president's going to be here, Greg, to tell us a little bit more about the travels of our team and the great things that God is doing through His word. So be sure to hop aboard then. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the body of Christ around the world. Help us, Lord, to tune our hearts to yours and your word. And as we listen, give us a deeper understanding of who you are and help us to live each day in a way that pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Dr. J. Vernon McGee with our study in 1 Timothy 1 on Through the Bible.
Now today, friends, we are coming to 1 Timothy, the first chapter at verse 8. And we must move along now, but this is a very important section that we're in. And this is the section, the warning against unsound doctrine. And the problem was that there was an attempt to get Christians involved in the heathen religions of that day. And there were many of them, the mystery religions, the idolatry. It abounded in Ephesus, where young Timothy was. And Paul knew that area, for he had been there. And also there was the idea of making actually of the Old Testament a myth, and also to treat it as just endless genealogies, and they run right on into the New Testament, that there was no great change that took place actually when Christ came, and that Israel in the Old Testament is the church, and the church in the New Testament is Israel, and so on, that type of thinking. Paul warns against it, and then he warns against those that are legalists, that were attempting to teach the law. And they taught the law as a means of salvation, and that didn't end it, but they taught the law as a means of sanctification. The thing that you were required to do was to get back under the law after you're saved. May I say to you that the law served a purpose, but it never was a means of salvation, never was given for that. It was a ministration of death for the simple reason it condemns us, a ministration of condemnation. The law was never given, therefore, to save man. It was to reveal to man that he was a sinner and needed a Savior. Actually, under the law, the best man in the world was absolutely condemned. While the gospel today, the worst man in the world can be justified if he only believes in Christ. The sinner cannot be saved by good works, for he's unable to perform any good works. Being in the flesh, Paul says he cannot please God. And I think that we need to bear down on that, because this idea today that you are in and of yourself able to please God, my friend, is absolutely contradicted in the Word of God. For he says that it's impossible. Those that are in the flesh, Paul says in Romans 8:8, they cannot please God. It's impossible to please him. You can't meet his standard. Therefore, good works cannot produce salvation, but salvation can produce good works. We're not saved by good works, but we're saved under good works. And Paul makes it very clear how we are saved in Ephesians 2:8 and 10, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in him. Now, beginning with verse 8 of chapter 1 now of 1 Timothy, Paul says, but we know that the law is good. It certainly is, as we've said, reveals the will of God. It's morally excellent. It's good for moral conduct, but not for salvation. The law cannot save a sinner. It can correct a sinner. It can reveal to us that we are sinners, and it serves its purpose. That was its purpose, to show that. Now, it was never given to a righteous man, and that means one that's been made righteous for his faith in Christ, because he's been called now to a much higher plane before God, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Now, the law is therefore not made for a righteous man, one that's been justified before God. But why is the law given? Why, it's given for the lawless. Thou shalt not kill. That's not given to a child of God who's not murdering anyone, who does not want to hurt but wants to help. That's given to that man yonder that is a murderer at heart. It's given to control a natural man. And that is the purpose of it. It was for fornicators, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. You see, you and I, when we've come to Christ, we now are saved on a different principle, by the grace of God. Now we've been brought into the family of God, and we've been brought to a higher plane to live altogether. Let me give two illustrations of this that I trust might be helpful. Here is a judge on a bench, and it's brought before him a lawbreaker, and you can pick any law that you want that he's broken. Now, he should be sentenced. He should pay a heavy fine, and he should go to prison. Now the judge says, I have a son that loves this prisoner. I have to condemn him. He's broken the law. Now my son has agreed to pay the fine. He's a wealthy man. He's agreed to go to prison on behalf of this man. Therefore, the penalty has been paid, and I'm going to take this criminal into my home, and I'm going to treat him as a son of mine. And so he takes that criminal home with him. Now he doesn't talk to him anymore about thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. He's his son. He's going to talk to him now about how he's to love the members of the family. He's going to talk to him now about how he's to act at the family, how he's to come to the table, how he's to obey the judge's wife, how he is to have part in the family chores and the family duties. You see, he's on an altogether different basis than he ever was before. That's what God has done for the sinner. We're not under law, therefore, but we're beyond that, above that. That law's for that fellow out yonder that is the lawbreaker, was given at the beginning to control the old nature, the flesh. Now let me give another one, I think, that reveals this, that should be in the family of God, a family of God where there is faith and love and a good conscience, as we saw last time. This is an illustration that I heard Dr. Ironside give many years ago. Dr. Ironside taught up at the conference up at Flagstaff. For about 15 years straight, I went up there, and they've invited me every year since then, and I just haven't been able to accept. I've got a bad conscience on that, I tell you, because I'd love to go up there. At one time, when they had the 50th anniversary, I was up there with Dr. Theodore Epp. He was born out there on the reservation among the Hopis. His father was a missionary there. And he was one of the speakers, and Dr. Carl Armading and myself. And we had a wonderful week there speaking, as well as others that had come from all over the country. They told us there were members of 35 different tribes that were represented there. Well, one time, Dr. Ironside took with him one of them who had become a Christian up to Oakland, California. Now, they got on the Santa Fe train there in Flagstaff. But when they got to Barstow in California, they changed trains. They got off the train that was going into Los Angeles and waited in the station. And they waited 2 or 3 hours, then got on the train and went to Oakland. Now, while they went to Oakland, this man gave his testimony. They were staying in the home of some very dear friends of Dr. Ironside. And so this man was invited, among other things, to speak to a young people's group. And this young people's group all got hung up that night on law and grace, as they generally do. And they couldn't distinguish between the two, or the place of the law. And so he got up and said something like this. He said, I see that you here are all mixed up on law and grace. He said, I'd like to tell you a little story. He said, I came here from Flagstaff, Arizona, on the train. We stopped at Barstow, and we are in the waiting room, and we are waiting there, and I noticed on the walls there, on all of the walls, there's a sign, do not spit on the floor. And it was on the inside, it was on the outside. He said, that was the rule there. And he said, I looked down on the floor, and he said it looked like everybody spit on the floor. Nobody paid any attention to the law. And then he says, we get here to Oakland, and we go to this nice, lovely home. And they tell me to sit down in the living room. And I sit down in the living room. And while I'm waiting for them to come, I look around, and I see pretty pictures on the wall. But there's no sign there that says, do not spit on the floor. And he says, I get down on my hands and knees and feel of the rug. And he says, you know, nobody spits on the floor. He says, it was law at Barstow. It's grace in the home in which I'm staying. That's the difference, friends. That's the real difference. Under law, man never kept it. He can't measure up to it. He breaks it. But now he's been brought by grace into the family of God. And he's not going out and murder. He's a son of God now. And he ought not to lie, but when he does, he's out of fellowship with God, that's for sure. But anyway, that's the illustration. Now, he says, these things are contrary to sound doctrine, therefore, to put man back under law, because the child of God is in a family where the emphasis should be upon love, upon faith, and a good conscience. Now, he says, this is according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. I want to change that a little. And this, by the way, is one of the unique statements of Paul. You don't find it in his epistles to the churches, but you do find it writing to these young preachers. According to the gospel of glory. Isn't that a wonderful way of speaking of it? The gospel of glory of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now, Paul becomes very personal here at this particular point at verse 12. He says here, he counted me faithful, and if you'll notice this, putting me in the ministry, and will you notice that? I'm reading now verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord. You notice how he's emphasizing the lordship of Christ. That's for the believer. That's in the local church. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me in that he accounted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now, I don't want to labor a lot of these points here, but I feel like this is rather important. The word ministry is a word that actually is greatly misunderstood today. All believers are in the ministry. In fact, the matter is that none of us are out of the ministry if we are a child of God. In other words, every believer has a ministry. And the word that is used here is the word that's used for the word deacon. And it, by the way, is a very wonderful word that we have. And he says here, I thank God that he's counted me faithful and put me into service. Now, all of us are ministers. Every believer is a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact of the matter is, Paul called rulers ministers, the ministers of God, if you please, because actually, we talk about we voted for a certain man and the people put him into office. And I tell you, I think God overrules many times mankind down here. That man, I don't care who he is, he's a minister of God. And that's the way that his office is to function or should function. But whether it does or not is beside the point here. The point I'm trying to make is that you are a minister and you've been given a service to perform. Now, Paul was thanking God that he had put him in a service, which was a missionary, of course. He says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. And I want you to notice this. Paul takes this awful word of a blasphemer, and he says that's what he was. And very frankly, this man here had blasphemed the Lord Jesus. He hated him, and he had committed what would otherwise have been an unpardonable sin. I think he was present there at the crucifixion of Christ. I think he ridiculed the Lord Jesus. Now he says here, before I was a blasphemer, and I was a persecutor, and I injured the church. Now will you notice, I obtained mercy. When Paul's talking about his salvation, he's saved by the grace of God. But it was the mercy of God that put him into the ministry. And that's the reason that I constantly tell you that I have to have a whole lot of the mercy of God. I've never really figured out why the Lord would ever use me in the ministry in this type of service. of giving out the Word of God. If you had said to me when I was a young, smart-alecky bank clerk that I'd be doing this, I would have said, you're absurd. To begin with, I don't want to do it. In the second place, I have nothing that would commend me to that. But you see, God, by His mercy, friends, He puts us into service. He has to be very merciful to me. I've used up a whole lot of His mercy, but He said that He's rich in mercy. So I use quite a bit of His mercy, by the way. Now I must move on. But Paul said he did it ignorantly, and he did it because of the fact he was in unbelief. And that was the condition of most of us, and all of us, I'm sure. And he says, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, the grace of God had saved him, brought him to the place of faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. These are the things that are to be manifest. Now, he says, this is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that is a very important verse of Scripture, that He came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come in as the greatest teacher. He was that. He didn't come in to set an example. He did that. But He came into the world to save sinners. And when you give a testimony, make sure you tell the folk not how wonderful you are today, and all of your accomplishments, you tell them that you were a sinner and that Christ saved you. That's the important thing, of whom He says, I'm chief. I've been over this before. I just touch it briefly. Paul, when he said he was the chiefest of sinners, he's not using hyperbole. He is not using high-flung oratory. What he's saying is the truth. He was the chief of sinners. He blasphemed the Lord Jesus. He shot out the lip there at Him, and I think he was present at the crucifixion. You can't sink any lower than that. Paul says, I've been saved. Now, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Well, you say, I just don't think He can save me. I'm the worst. No, you're not. Paul's the chief of sinners. And the chief of sinners has already got saved. So you will be able to be saved if you want to be. The problem is always with you, you see. You can be saved if you want to be. All you have to do is turn to Christ. He'll do the rest. He's faithful. It's a faithful saying. Now, nevertheless, for this cause I obtained mercy. You see, he needed mercy in order to become a minister, be a missionary. That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them who should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Paul said, I'm not only preach a gospel, I'm an example of it. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Paul just couldn't go any farther without just sounding out a tremendous doxology. Who is the King eternal? It's the Lord Jesus. Who is He? He's the only wise God. Don't tell me that Paul didn't make the Lord Jesus Christ God. He considered Him God manifest in the flesh. And here he gives this tremendous testimony. He says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which pointed to thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. We're in a warfare down here. Now, I'll have to leave off right there, and we'll pick up right there next time. So until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
We're just getting started in our study of 1 Timothy, but we've already covered so much ground. Do you have Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for our study of 1 Timothy? Well, if not, now's a great time to get them. They can be a great help in our study together. So to get yours, visit the resources section at ttb.org to download your copy of Briefing the Bible, or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'll put an abridged paperback copy in the mail right away. Also at ttb.org, you'll find the free digital download of our 1 Timothy Bible Companion. I really love these. They're a great recap of Dr. McGee's teaching and the links to the Bible verses and our study, and of course, the great reflection questions that help you to go deeper. You can do this individually or as a small group. So if you haven't already downloaded your copy, do it today at ttb.org, and like as many resources as we can get, those are free. The Bible Bus continues to roll along on its 5-year journey through God's entire Word. Be sure to come with us. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here next time, saving a seat just for you.
Jesus made it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him yet?
Hi, fishing enthusiast. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows, ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Minister Gloria Rawson, Wife of the Family of God in Melbourne, Florida. And this is to all our faith partners and radio listeners. We are the church in the city with the city in our hearts. Our church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard. That's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church services are every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. Come and be blessed of the Lord. Now here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord once again out there in Radio Land. We thank the Lord for this glorious opportunity once again to come into your homes, nursing homes, prison cells, automobiles, wherever you are, to tell you about the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that he came into this world to redeem mankind from this evil world according to the will of God. Well, today I want to pray for my faith partners. Father, in the name of Jesus, everyone that have tuned into this broadcast, I ask that you would bless them, those that need healing in their bodies, that you would touch them by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, that they would be healed in Jesus' mighty name. So we ask, Lord, that this broadcast go into the hearts of those, Lord, that believe and trust in you, because without you, we can do nothing. So we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, today we want to talk about the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Without the cross, there would be no salvation, no deliverance, no healing. It would be nothing. And many people today fail to understand the power of the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He went to that cross to redeem mankind back to him, everyone that would believe and trust in him. Praise God. The cross is where the power is. The cross is of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's where all redemption, everything that was paid. And that's why we give thanks unto the Father, who has made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, in whom we have redemption through his blood, praise God, and the forgiveness of sin. And what he has done is that through the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he has delivered us. And many people today, we're all going through something, some form of issues that are in our lives, but I want to tell you today that there is power in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And each one of us that believe and trust in him and understand the reality of what took place there on Calvary's cross, we will be healed. We will be delivered. Salvation will come to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we thank him for it. Praise God. Now, in 1 Corinthians 1, we want to look at what the Word of God says. Not what I think or what anyone else think or any theologian think. It's what the Word of God is saying to us. Because every one of us that believe and trust in him, we know that the cross is the power of God. I said the cross of Jesus Christ is the power of God. That's where redemption, praise God, was purchased for us all right there on Calvary's cross. The Lord Jesus Christ took everything and nailed it to his cross. And this is why we give thanks unto him, because he and he alone brought the bleeding, the healing, the deliverance, and everything. It took place there at the cross of Calvary. That's why Apostle Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, or the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." Amen. Well, I want to tell you today that when we think of Calvary, we think of what transpired there that will give us the opportunity to be redeemed, to be brought back to our Heavenly Father. We all stood there, so to speak, with all sin, sickness, and disease. But thank God for Jesus and what he did on Calvary's cross. So Apostle Paul was telling us in First Corinthians 1, and we want to look at the 18th verse there, because it's very clear. And what happened is that a lot of things that are going on, people fail to understand what and how precious the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. That everything was done there on the cross of Calvary. And many people today say, but what about the resurrected power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, there could be no resurrection without a death taking place there on the cross of Calvary. Praise God. I need you to understand that. There's no resurrection without the Lord Jesus Christ dying there on Calvary's cross. Praise God. And in the 18th verse, Apostle Paul was bringing to the attention of the Corinthians in terms of this power. And if you were born again, you thank God for the power of the cross. Praise God. I said, you thank God for the power of the cross, because it has the power. And listen to what it says here. "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness." You see, and what happened is that it's foolishness to them because they don't understand the power of the cross. They don't understand that everything was done there on the cross of Calvary. That's where you have redemption. That's where you have forgiveness of sins. Amen. That's where you have peace and joy and holiness, and everything was done there at the cross of Calvary. But to them that perish is foolishness. And I often look at that and say, well, why is it foolishness to them that are perishing? Because they don't believe in what took place there on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
But, Minister Glory, but we understand, because
we're saved.
Our redemption came to us through the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He hung there on Calvary's cross, taking the sins of the whole world. Your sins, past, present, and future, he dealt with it on Calvary's cross. What a mighty, mighty, and powerful move that took place to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he did for us all. And I thank God for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because without the cross, I wouldn't be behind this microphone here telling you about the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Truly, he has done it all.
Yes.
This is why we give him all the praise and honor and glory and thank him for everything. We are not foolish and we are not perishing, because we know where the power of God is. Praise the Lord. So Paul was telling us here that for the preaching of the cross to them that perish. You see, it's foolishness to them that perish because they don't want to believe the power of the cross. They don't want to believe that through the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is where everything was done. Everything was done there on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
And a lot of people say, well, you preach the cross too much. Well, what else can you preach?
That's the good news.
What else can you preach?
Death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen. Because what took place there on Calvary's cross brought forth redemption.
Amen.
You know, for us being redeemed back to God, every one of us that believe and trust in him because of what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. Praise God. So Paul says, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. Well, I'm not going to be a fool. I'm going to believe the very word of what Apostle Paul was telling the church of Corinth concerning the preaching of the cross. Well, Mr. Grover, you know, if the cross is, I strongly believe that if the cross is preached, that everybody that will believe would realize that all of their sins were forgiven there on Calvary's cross, where the Lord Jesus Christ died there on Calvary's cross. That's why we have to come to the bleeding side of Calvary, where Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ, and he's the one that has done it all.
He's done it all. Yes.
There's nothing for us to do but to actually
believe
in what he has done.
Amen.
Because he took all of our sins, sicknesses and disease and shortcomings and everything, he took it and he nailed it to his cross. And that is why the preaching of the cross is the power of God.
Praise the Lord.
I said the power of God. It will change your life, praise God, if you truly believe and trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved. You see, if you are saved,
born again,
praise God. Well, that's a good expression there, being born again, because we use the word saved so much until it has kind of lost its strength concerning salvation. We said, oh, well, you saved. They saved him. The man was drowning in the lake there, and they came and they saved him. But see, that's not the kind of saving that we're talking about. We're speaking about what Christ has done for us. Praise God. We're not sitting inside of fellowships or just handling the word saved. No, it's truly the born again experience.
Amen.
But what Apostle Paul is saying, that we all that are saved, we know that the preaching of the cross is the power of God.
Praise God.
And this is why he says that. He said, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Oh, have mercy.
Amen.
What's the power of God? It's the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and everything that he's done. Praise God. I tell you, as a child of God, we realize that there's nothing basically that we can do but to believe, because what happened is that Jesus, when he died there on Calvary's cross, that he took everything, that he satisfied the divine plan of salvation for God Almighty.
Yes.
And also what he has done there on Calvary's cross is that he broke the power of sin by dying there on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
He broke the power of sin.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And not only sin, but guilt and shame. Oh, glory to God. Thank God for Calvary. Mm-hmm. Thank God for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he's done there on Calvary's cross. So Paul is telling the church of Corinth, say, well, first of all, the cross is the power of God. Unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. If you want deliverance in your life, come to Calvary and allow the what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, that he will break the bonds of sin. It will bring forth deliverance in the heart of every person that would receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. They would never try to do it themselves. They would accept or receive what Jesus has done for us on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
Ms. Gloria, it is so powerful, and I strongly believe that if the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is preached, and many people today say, well, we're not preaching the cross because it's a sign of defeat. No, it's a sign of victory.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
No defeat there. It's victory because of what Jesus done.
That's right.
He took everything and nailed it to his cross.
Praise God.
Can you imagine for a moment that breaking the power of sin, everyone that would believe and trust in him and receive him as Lord and Savior in their lives and thank him for what he's done. Sickness
mm-hmm.
was nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. He took all of this. He took our sins. He took sickness.
Yes.
He took disease. Hmm. He took poverty. He took everything and nailed it to his cross.
Praise the Lord.
This is why we lift up the name of Jesus and we believe and receive everything that he's done, because the power of the cross is the power of God. And when we can believe that and thank the Lord for the cross of Jesus Christ and what he's done. You know, he broke the power of sin, guilt and shame, and everything that that was needed so that every one of us who would believe and trust in him, we can walk in victory and we can walk in the peace and the joy of the Lord. Praise God.
Lord.
You know, Calvary is a powerful thing. And if everybody were preaching the cross, I strongly believe that you would have more people that are actually born again than what we have now. Because what it is that they will realize what Jesus did.
Yes.
That he took their sins. He was their substitute. He took their place on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
This is why, Minister Glory, it's so important that we preach the cross. And the cross is not just some place of defeat. It's a place of victory to every one of us that believe and trust in the Lord, because that's where the power of God. The scripture tells us that. For it is the power to us which are saved, that it's the power of God.
Yes, it is.
Praise God. Now, it's the power of God. So that means that whatever you're going through out there in Radio Land, whatever your problems may be, if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, then whatever he has done, he did it for you. Praise God. He brought forth deliverance in your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. If you have sickness in your body, he dealt with it there. Matter of fact, all the guilt and shame, sickness and disease, what does Peter say? He says that he took everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, who his own self bared our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed.
Praise God.
Well, I want to tell you, if you were healed,
mm-hmm.
then you are healed. Praise God. You heal of all of the abnormalities and the maladies and whatever it is that's in your life if you believe and trust in what Jesus Christ has done for us, because the cross is the power of God. I said the cross is the power of God. And he broke everything and satisfied the divine plan of salvation for every one of us which would believe and trust in him. And Minister Glory, you know, this is why when the enemy hears you talking about the cross of Jesus Christ,
right,
he realized right then and there that that's where he was defeated. That's where he was defeated,
mm-hmm,
on Calvary's cross.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
That's right.
Defeated on Calvary's cross. In Colossians 2 and verse 15,
yes,
praise God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask Minister Glory to read that, because what happened is that the enemy was defeated,
mm-hmm,
and Jesus Christ was exalted, and the power of God rests in our lives, every one of us that believe and trust in Jesus, because we realize that the cross of Jesus Christ is the power of God in our lives.
Yes. I'll start at 14. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross.
Amen.
And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it.
That's why the cross is victory for us, praise God, and everyone else that would believe and trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, praise God, for everyone that would believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you come to Calvary, if you come to Calvary where the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins and sicknesses and disease, and this is why it is so powerful, because the prophet Isaiah, when he spoke about what was going on, praise the Lord, he was looking through the tunnel of time, and he said, there's one that's coming, praise God. Hallelujah. I said, one that's coming that's going to die for your sins.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, in Isaiah 53 in verse 5.
Mm-hmm. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was,
yes,
upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed.
And with his stripes, with what he suffered there on Calvary's cross, that we are healed. And I want to tell you today that it is so powerful that the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done, because God laid the iniquities of us all on him. Praise God.
Amen.
He did it. He became your substitute. He died there on Calvary's cross, taking all of the sins of the whole world.
Right.
Isn't that something?
It is something. Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sins of the whole world. And that's why he is the propitiation for our sins.
Yes, he is.
And not, mm-hmm, for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And this is why the preaching of the cross, and Apostle Paul is telling, this is the power of God. And if you could truly believe and trust in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I tell you, you can walk in victory. You can walk in peace. You can walk the joy of the Lord. You can walk with salvation. You can walk with everything that Jesus has done for us on Calvary's cross. Minister, you have something you want to say?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Because it's the power of God. And we're not going to be foolish. We realize what he has done, not what we are able to do. It's what Jesus has done. He and he alone took everything and nailed it to his cross. Not ours, but to his cross. This is what he's done. He died for us. So this is why Apostle Paul was telling the church of Corinth, in all the other epistles, He says in Galatians 2 and verse 20, he said, "For I am crucified with Christ." Praise God. "Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Praise God.
Amen.
Can you imagine dying with Christ? And this is how God the Father sees us all that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. He sees us dying with Christ on the cross of Calvary. Isn't that something? Dying with Christ.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And being buried with him. And when Jesus rose on the third day, we rose in the newness of life.
Amen.
Because the cross has power. Praise God. The cross has victory. Without the cross, we're not able to do anything. But we believe in the power of the cross. Amen.
Amen.
The power of the cross. It is the power of God. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
The power of God. Hallelujah. And if you have any ailments in your body today, or are you dealing with any particular circumstances or a situation or health problems, listen, believe what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us all on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
He took all of our sins, sicknesses and disease and everything else, and he nailed it to his cross. And I dare not close this broadcast out, because I know Apostle Paul was speaking to the church of Corinth concerning the preaching of the cross. And this is why we preach Christ and him crucified. Praise the Lord. I want to ask Minister Gloria in the closing minutes here to extend an invitation to everyone out there in Radio Land. And I'm not taking for granted that you're saved. I don't know. But the whole idea is that if you put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he has done, listen, you can have eternal life.
Amen.
Minister Gloria.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the mm-hmm. Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart.
Amen.
That God had raised him from the dead.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thou shalt be saved.
Hallelujah.
With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Mm. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
Thank you, Jesus.
For whosoever, God bless whosoever, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God. Don't be foolish. Listen to what the word of God is saying. That the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. Amen to everyone that believes. Well, God bless you all out there in Radio Land. I love you, and I thank God for you, and I pray that you would realize that there's nothing that you can do, that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the ascended Lord, risen Savior, that he has done it all for us all at Calvary's cross. God bless you out there. Until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.